again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. I know we say that so often, but we do say it sincerely. It's good to get together, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but it's just good to get together to involve ourselves as a congregation in worship to our Heavenly Father. So appreciate your attendance very, very much today. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning, and you're very welcome to follow along as I go through the sermon notes this morning. Obviously, that we're going to concern ourselves with the resurrection of Jesus. In all of the verses that we're going to look at in the major headings of the notes come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. So every major heading or every verse that we look at or discuss is found in Luke chapter 24. By way of introduction, for the disciples, they no doubt thought the crucifixion of Jesus was the end of it all. They probably thought, that's it. Let's go home. We had a good run. 3 years of fine ministry, fine teaching, miracles. Boy, that was just fabulous in many ways, but now he's crucified. Jesus had just been betrayed by Judas in Gethsemane. He went through a series of mock trials. He was scourged, crucified, dies on the cross. Joseph and Nicodemus come and take the body of Jesus and bury it. So again, to the disciples, all of this appearance is that it's over. That's it. Door closed. The end. Finished. Amen. Let's go home. But then, Luke chapter 24, as Rick said in the introduction to the scripture reading. Now in Luke 24, we have this grand announcement by the two men at the tomb of Jesus in verse 6. He's not here. He's risen. And this is the beginning, the opening tomb is the beginning of several openings that took place throughout the chapter of Luke 24. And those are the things we're going to note in our lesson this morning. Obviously, number one, it begins with an open tomb. In Luke 24, just the opening verses again. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher. They brought spices which they prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Not there. See, and I put in your notes, even the tomb, you know, wasn't supposed to be open. It was sealed. I'll read the verses for that. I could retell the story, but here's the actual text of the story. It's in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. And this is how Matthew records the event. The chief priests and Pharisees came together to Pilate. And they said, Sir, we remember that deceiver, that's the way they looked at Jesus, they called him a deceiver. He really wasn't the Christ. But these chief priests and scribes, or Pharisees, came to Pilate. We remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. So they said to Pilate, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day. At least for 3 days, we want to make sure nobody is getting out. So they said, otherwise his disciples may come by night and steal him away. And the disciples will say to the people, he's risen from the dead. So Pilate said to them, you have a watch, meaning a watchman. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went, made the sepulcher sure, sealing. and it was guarded. They want to make sure Jesus is not getting out. But then even Matthew records it, just like Luke in our text today, in Matthew 28, verse 2. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. The tomb was open, no doubt, so that the disciples could see in. It's empty. The disciples did not steal the body like the scribes and Pharisees were thinking that might happen. So one of the first openings that we have in our lesson this morning, also in Luke chapter 24, is the opening of the tomb. Second, that is the lady's memory was opened. It's in verses 6 through 8. Here's what it says. After the angel of the Lord said, "He is not here, but risen. Remember..." Ladies came to the tomb. The guard, or the angel of God, says, "Remember how he spake unto you while he was yet alive in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Then it says, "And they remembered Jesus' words." Remember, Jesus had told them during his ministry, "Oh yes, I'm going to be crucified. I'll be buried. But still, it's not going to last. There'll be a resurrection." In Matthew 12, verse 40, Jesus said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale," or in the whale's belly, "so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He said it again in Matthew chapter 20 and in John chapter 2. 3 days, "I will rise again." And it happened. So when the angel told them that, remember what he said? Yes, I remember now. He did say that, didn't he? The tomb is empty. Opened the tomb. And then second, he opened the memory of the ladies. You know, today's tombs are famous for the bodies they contain. But the tomb of Jesus is famous for the body that's not there. It's empty. It's risen. Number three and four kind of go together in the outline. One hinges on the other. Jesus opened their eyes and opened the scriptures. But let's take number three first. Jesus opened their eyes. It's in verse 31. And that's what it says. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. But before their eyes could be opened, Jesus had to reveal himself in the scriptures. So he opened the scriptures unto these people that saw him after the resurrection. It's in verses 10 and 11. Still in Luke 24. Says it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. In other words, the tomb is empty, fellas. And then it says their words seemed to them as idle tales. They believed them not. Oh, that's right. Now the ladies, they remembered, because the angel said, "Remember what he said." Then the angel sends them away. "Now go tell the other disciples." Because they're thinking again, the crucifixion ended it all. So now they go tell the others, and they're still thinking, no, the crucifixion was the finishing thing. In verse 16, Luke 24, their eyes were holden that they should not know him or recognize him. Still, no, I don't think so. I don't think there was a resurrection. Verse 26, he said to them, Jesus is, they're in Jesus' presence. I told you during my ministry, oh yes, I will rise again the third day. And he did, but they're thinking, oh no, the crucifixion is ending. He said, oh no, let me open the scriptures. And when he opened the scriptures, he opened their eyes. Do you see me in fulfillment of what's been said earlier? Oh, faith. That's right. It's a faith. So then in verse 32, the next verse, it says, they said to one another, now that their eyes are open in verse 31, verse 32, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Wow. He opened the scriptures and he opened their eyes. Because the angels had already opened their memory when they were at the open tomb. Opened the scriptures. And again, verse 25, the story continues. If you go back a couple of verses, Jesus, remember, just said to them, O slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He opens the scriptures. Verse 27, still in Luke 24. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Opened the scriptures. In verse 31, then at that verse, then their eyes were opened and they knew it. So Jesus opened the scriptures to open their eyes. I wish I knew which scriptures Jesus used to open their eyes. Jesus, could you give me your sermon outline? There are people in the audience whose eyes I would like to have open. I want to say what you said. Because we want eyes to be open to recognize that you're the Christ, you're the resurrected Jesus. I want to say, what did you say? What prophecies did you remind them of? What did you remind them of that Moses said and the prophets? Oh, tell me, Jesus, tell me. I want to open eyes as a preacher or Bible class teacher of the people in the audience. That's what Jesus did after his resurrection, after the open tomb. The ladies there was open memory in the ladies. They went to tell the other disciples about the open tomb. They said, oh, no, that's not true. But then the lady said, oh, but wait a minute. He opened the scriptures and it opened our eyes. And that's what we need in our life. We need to have our eyes opened. Opened the scriptures. And that's one purpose of the scriptures. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing ye might have life through his name. So one purpose I have as the preacher or the Bible class teacher is to open the scriptures. Because these are the things that are written to produce faith in your life and mine. In Romans 10 verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when I stand before you, one direction or purpose in my life is to open scriptures so that you can open your eyes and see that Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of God. That's what took place here in Luke chapter 24. The next thing that's open, number 5 in your notes, is Jesus opens his hands and gives a blessing. Verse 50. He led them out as far as to Bethany. So after Jesus had met with the ladies of his other disciples that were gathered there, he leads them out to Bethany, lifts up his hands, and it says he blessed them. Lifts up his hands. When I get a picture of that, Jesus with the ladies and the disciples, he blessed them with lifted up hands, not with a clenched fist, to say, I'm going to go get those people for that. You know what they did? You know, he doesn't say to them, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to murder them. No. He's concerned about those that are around them. He lifts up his hands and blesses them. Blesses them. Number six in your notes. The story continues in Luke 24, verse 51. He opened the door to heaven. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Jesus, with this illustration, does not close the door behind him and say to his disciples or other followers, I'm going to close the door behind me. You can't come. No, they had to remember, perhaps Jesus may have reminded them of even his own lesson in John chapter 14. Jesus said during his personal ministry, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So when we look, picture Jesus being ascended back to the Father, 40 days after his resurrection, we see that he is opening a door for you and for me. Those who believe the testimony of the Scriptures, that God so loved the world, he gave his Son. When we believe that, commit ourselves to it, become obedient followers or disciples of Jesus. When we become Christians, that way has been opened for us. And where Jesus has gone, we will one day be. He opened the doors. The last one I put is number seven. Open a new day of grace for us. Go back a couple verses in the text. Verses 46 through 47. Now before Jesus has opened his hands and blessed them, before he has ascended back to the Father, these are some of the last recorded words we have. Jesus said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, or my name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Jesus' last words, we always sometimes wonder, well, was that fulfilled? Did his last words take place? So certainly after his resurrection, he appeared on the earth for 40 days. Then he has ascended back to the Father, here in Luke chapter 24. 10 days later, after this, the disciples are gathered in Jerusalem, just like Jesus had asked them to do before he ascended back to the Father. When Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke, writes the book of Acts, he reminds them of this event. And in the opening chapters of the book of Acts, Luke tells us that the disciples are gathered together in Jerusalem. They're at the right place at the right time. They receive power from on high. There are devout Jews from every nation that are gathered in Jerusalem for a Jewish holiday called Pentecost, or Feast of Unleavened Bread. While the Jews are gathered together, the devout Jews in Jerusalem, 10 days after the ascension, Peter and the apostles stand up and they preach a lesson to these devout Jews all throughout Jerusalem. And then Peter reaches a point in his sermon where it says in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. The next verse says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they cried out, men and brethren. They stopped Peter and the other apostles' sermon. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They felt that they were guilty as charged of crucifying the Christ, of murdering the Messiah. What shall we do? The verse continues in verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, oh, stop right there. 10 days earlier, Jesus said his very last words, I want repentance. leader? Did they preach repentance? They cried out, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Did they preach remission of sins? Yes. Because Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And then the next verse, Peter continues his lesson, it says, because to you and your children is the promise, and to all that are far off, as many the Lord our God shall call. And then he said, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying to that Jewish audience in Jerusalem, testify, save yourselves from this crooked, untoward generation. Verse 41 says, those that gladly received his word were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Ah! So we start connecting the words, salvation, saved, church, repentance, remission of sins, being baptized, all in fulfillment of Jesus' last words. Okay. And that's the message we preach. There are some grand openings in Luke chapter 24. And it started with the open tomb, but don't stop there. Remember the words? And so when Jesus opened the scriptures, he opened their eyes. He opened his hands and blessed them. He ascended and opened the door to heaven. And he said, the last thing I want is I want a message preached to the people so that they can come where I am. Heaven itself. That's the lesson. That's what makes the open tomb such a great message. Always when we assemble together, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. There may be one here this morning who's not a member of the New Testament church, meaning you're not a Christian. If you've heard the good news, meaning the scriptures have been opened to you, you believe the biblical message, you're willing to turn your life around, as Peter preached, repent and be baptized. So I want to turn my life around, and I want to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You can be baptized for remission of sins, just like Peter preached. We're not going to change that message at all. I don't have the ability to do that. What Peter preached is what I want to preach and tell you. The scriptures, the message. If you're subject to that invitation, if you haven't been baptized before, you can do that this morning. So let's stand together and sing the song.